Whoop that trick. Whoop that trick. Uh-huh. Yeah, whoop that trick. All right, guys, I don't know what I'm doing. Welcome to the NXT Post Show. It's Denise Salcedo, and it is Tuesday, March 12th, and we're here to talk NXT. And I got to tell you, man, going into tonight's show, I had seen what was announced for the night, and I didn't really have high expectations of tonight's show. Like, I think going into it, there were like three matches announced. It was the tag team match, the Sean Spears match, and I forget, there was something else that was announced, but I wasn't really expecting so much out of tonight's show. And I gotta tell you, I feel like we got so much more on tonight's show than any of us might have expected. And we got like this sort of, random ending to the show. Like, I'm not kidding you. We're going to be talking today about Roxanne Perez continuing her ascension as a heel. We're going to be talking about Thea Hale is back. The old Thea Hale is back. We're going to be talking about that. And don't ask me how, but somehow, some way, we're going to get to Trick Williams and Lash Legend making out at the end of NXT in the ring. Now, if you're sitting here and you listen to this NXT post show every week, and you're thinking, how did we get here? Well, I don't really have the answers for you, to be honest. It was kind of random. So we're going to go ahead and get into all of that here today. It's going to be a good time. Let's go. I want to kick things off by getting into these super chats. And we got one here from Matt Logan, who says, good to see that Thea got an excellent fiery promo. I cannot wait to talk about Thea Hale. We got Brandon Rosen here, who's been a DWO member for 5 months, saying Trick and Lash sitting in a tree, K-I-S-S-I-N-G. I'm going to sound like Booker T right now, but Shucky Ducky Quack Quack. I'm pretty sure that would have been a Shucky Ducky Quack Quack moment. Sheldon Jackson, thank you so much for gifting 5 DWO memberships. It's always a huge thank you over to Sheldon for doing that. If you want to get your questions, your comments, your statements, your opinions read here on the show, you are more than welcome to send in a super chat at any point, and I will make sure to read those here on the stream. But let's go ahead and jump right into what went down, because this was the last thing that we saw on the show. Let's just get right into it. We're going to talk about Trick Williams. So Trick Williams had been promoted as returning for tonight. We had seen him last week. He attacks Carmelo Hayes. Obviously, he's angry. He's pissed. He feels betrayed by Carmelo Hayes and everything that went down. So he went out there today, and we know that Trick Williams has always been good at promos. So he went out there and he cut a pretty damn good promo. He basically just said that he's pissed. He's angry. All of which I just said right now. And he kind of brings up something that I didn't know where he was going with this, because he said that Carmelo Hayes basically lied to him. Carmelo Hayes lied. But there was one thing that he said that was actually true, according to Trick. And I was thinking, like, where is Trick Williams going with this? What is going to be the one truth? And according to him, the one truth was that they've never been on the same level. He agrees with that. And I'm sitting there and I'm going, again, what is he talking about, them not being on the same level? Like, obviously, he's not going to come out and bury himself, right? He's not going to do that. No, instead, he kind of basically told Carmelo Hayes, like, we ain't on the same level, because you got to go out there and wear your Timberlands. You could wear your Timberlands. You can be on a step stool. You can grow a fro like Ludacris, and we're still not going to be on the same level. Basically saying that he's short. And so he kind of threw like a shot at Carmelo Hayes about his height. And I thought that the way that he went about it was pretty hilarious. So there was a lot in this that was like, okay, I'm really intrigued in what Trick Williams has to say. I'm intrigued in seeing how he's going to keep audiences rooting for him, because he is like the biggest babyface on NXT. The people are interested in Trick Williams. So hearing his promos, because we know how much harder it is to be a babyface, because we know how much harder it is to get people to love you, I'm always interested to see what he's actually going to say. So I thought this was like really freaking good. You know, he made it clear that Carmelo Hayes was his brother. And even when people like John Cena warned him about whether or not he should trust Carmelo Hayes, he still trusted him because he was his brother. So really just like showing us how big of a deal this whole thing is that he backstabbed him. And he had a really good line. He told Carmelo Hayes, "I had your back and you stabbed me in the back." I thought that was really, really good. So I really liked this promo from Trick Williams. And he officially mentions that this match is going to happen at Stand and Deliver. And it's going down. And he told them, "I'm going to give you back everything that you gave to me at Stand and Deliver." So I'm thinking, okay, this is the end of the show. And maybe Carmelo Hayes will come out. Maybe not. I don't know. But I was pretty much thinking this was the end of the show. But then, out of nowhere, we kind of got, I don't know if it was, you can't really call it a swerve, but we went down an unexpected direction. So hear me out on this. This is what went down. The metaphor comes out. And I was like, oh no, not the metaphor. Because you guys know, I am not a fan of the metaphor, all right? I like Last Legend. That's pretty much it. I have not been a fan of the metaphor. Anyway, so they come out and I'm going, oh, here we go again. We're stuck to where there's nobody to come out here and do anything with Trick Williams. How are they going to end the show? That was literally my reaction to this. I was thinking like, I was getting ready to come out here and be like, thumbs down, womp womp, sad sound effects, right? So whatever, I let it play out. I let it play out. Noam Dar comes out with the metaphor and he goes on and he tells Carmelo Hayes how he deserved, sorry, he tells Trick Williams that he deserved what Carmelo Hayes did to him. And they get closer and closer to Trick Williams until they're on the ring apron. And Noam Dar mentions something along the lines of Trick Williams being the hottest star right now. And Trick Williams pokes fun at Lash Legend by saying like, oh yeah, like based on the way Lash Legend is looking at me right now, that's definitely the case. And so I'm thinking like, okay, are they going to go with like another Lash Legend love angle? Because it kind of seemed like they were teasing that with Lash Legend and Otis. If you guys remember that, when Otis was like trying to flatter her, but she was not flattered like whatsoever by Otis. And so like that didn't end up working out. And I thought, wow, they're really trying to push this like Lash Legend love storyline somehow. But whatever, I didn't think it was going to go any further than that, at least not tonight. And then all of a sudden, there's this moment where Trick Williams, like, they all start fighting, right? Trick Williams is taking on the metaphor. He comes across Lash Legend and he grabs her. And I'm not sure what it's called, guys, but you know when a guy like throws a girl, but he like gets her down and, you know, he does like a thing and they stare at each other and there's like this big moment. I don't know. It looks like they're tango dancing. I'm not sure what the hell that's called, but the point is they had this very intense moment and I'm thinking, okay, that's going to be the end of it, right? They're going to stare at each other and they're going to tease this love story. But no, it went further than that. All of a sudden, they're making out. It's a full-on love session. And I was like, what is happening right now? I don't know what the deal is, but yeah, that was really funny. It really went from just, I thought we were going to come on here and talk about Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams, and I was going to go on and say the same thing that I feel like has been going down the last couple of weeks. But no, we're getting a love story, and I think it's a love story with Lash Legend and Trick Williams. That's what it looks like it. I mean, he is the hottest act right now on NXT. Now you're adding a love story to it. Great. Great. Now, I don't know what the real life situation is. Like, I even thought, like, maybe they're dating in real life. I truly have no idea. I tend to be out of the loop with who's dating whom. But I did wonder if they were possibly dating behind the scenes. I have no idea. Okay, here we go. Hunter Tillman says Trick and Lash Legend are dating in real life. I figured as much because I kind of felt like if they weren't dating in real life, then it would have just been like super, super random. And they don't tend to do that kind of stuff anymore. So given the way that the fans reacted when they did have this kiss, and it was also like a very passionate kiss, I figured there had to be something more behind that. So even though I wasn't sure if they were dating in real life, which now apparently I've learned that they are, it makes sense. That's what I saw here. So you know what? I'm excited that I hope that Lash Legend becomes like his manager or something, or she just becomes his valet where she's out with Trick Williams, because they need to get her out from this like metaphor thing. However, I also don't want to see Lash Legend just become like a valet on his side or anything, because Lash Legend has been pretty impressive on her own. So I hope that they, I don't know. I hope they have fun with this, you know, have fun with it. You don't have to jump right into like her being his, like, not just his in real life girlfriend, but like also being his on screen lover. I don't know. Feels kind of weird, but feels kind of weird talking about somebody else's on screen and in real life relationship. But it's been a while since we've had one of these on NXT. And usually when they do have them, they're pretty fun. So I kind of hope that they have some fun with it, you know, use her and metaphor. Maybe there could be some like, I want to see Noam Dar be like angry at her next week. Be like, what the hell are you doing making out with Trick Williams? You know, I don't know. Have fun with it. That's what I want to see from it. But anyways, as a person who did not know they were dating in real life, this kind of came out of nowhere for me. So I was just like, ah, what's happening right now? But anyways, that's what we got here with Trick Williams and Lash Legend. So we'll have to wait and see until Carmelo Hayes comes back to see how they continue to tell the story between Trick and Carmelo. But it's looking like this is definitely happening at Stand and Deliver. All right, we got a couple of super chats here. This one is from Will Chisholm, who says, just like HBK, Trick is a boy toy. Oh man, good. I like the romance storylines, guys. I do. I think that they can be fun. They can be fun. Yeah, they can definitely be fun. We got Steven here who says, I just got home and jumped straight on here and have yet to watch NXT. Is there anything specific that I need to pay attention to and watch? Well, my friend, we just covered right now Trick Williams and Lash Legend, but there are two stories that I cannot wait to dive into. And that, my friends, is Roxanne Perez's heel promo, as well as Thea Hale basically standing up for herself, growing a backbone, and deciding that she's not going to let JC Jane run her life. We got Jana here who sends in a super chat saying PC is a college campus. Everyone dates each other. I have no idea, guys. Like I said, I am so out of the loop on who's dating who. I know people like that stuff. People like to know who's dating who. When I tell you, I'm so far out of the loop of who's dating who. I remember when I was, and I told this story actually, but I'll tell it again, because when I was at the Love and WWE premiere for Bianca Belair, I literally saw Ludwig Kaiser, and I actually didn't see Tiffany next to him because there was like a bunch of people and they were kind of blocking her, so I couldn't really see her. I'm short, guys. I can only see so much. So anyways, so I see Ludwig Kaiser and I ask him like, hey, like, can you do an interview? Like, are you available? And he's like, yeah. So he's like walking towards me and my vision, all of a sudden I look and I'm like, because I had just seen that there was a beautiful blonde woman next to him, but I didn't actually look until they got closer to me. And once they got closer to me, I was like, oh shit, it's Tiffany Stratton. And then I had this moment of like, oh, it was like glass shatters in my head where I didn't know that they were a couple until the moment that they were like right in front of me to do this interview. So it was very funny to kind of have that kind of a reaction and for me just to like, I don't know, pretend I knew. But that is how out of the loop I am with like in real life relationships with what's going on. But anyways, Jana, thank you so much for the super chat. Appreciate that a whole lot. Hunter Tillman says NXT is full of couples. Well, I mean, come on, guys. Like, can you blame them? Bunch of beautiful people back there. The chances are you're going to, like, you know, a little wink here, a little wink there. It's going to happen. Also, with that wink, probably wouldn't happen for me. But anyways, what the hell am I talking about? Let's keep it going. Oh, man. I'm on one today, guys. It's the wink. You know, some people can do it. Some people cannot. I am on the cannot wink properly boat here. It's very sad. Very sad. Anyways, I want to get into the things that I'm most excited to talk about. So let's get into Roxanne Perez. Oh, there's a lot in this one, guys. This one's good. All right, so we've been talking a whole lot about Roxanne and how at first we were like, oh man, how could they turn this like super natural, perfect baby face into a heel? And this was a slow progression into her heel persona, but she's been a heel now for the last couple of weeks, right? But she last week hurt Lyra Valkyra. She injured her arm, had the woman sent via ambulance to the hospital. And so now Lyra is out for the time being. Okay, so Roxanne Perez comes out and she quote unquote explains her actions. And let me tell you, I loved this promo. I wish that the crowd would have been a little bit more into it. I wish that there would have been a little bit more heat behind her promo. But as a person watching at home, I really enjoyed what she had to say. It was a long promo too. I don't know how long it was, but she went out there and she recapped a lot that like even I forgot about. And when she mentioned that, I was like, yeah, you know what? She's got a point. So the big thing that I want to say first and foremost about this is that Roxanne Perez went out there and she made some very, very valid points as to why she is a bad girl now, why she's a heel now, why she's pissed and why she's angry. So let's kind of talk about what she actually had to say. So point blank, she is tired of playing by the rules. She's no longer just happy to be here. Good for her, man. We all eventually have to get to that phase. And she basically says this didn't just happen overnight. This has been something that has been boiling up deep inside of her. And I like that because it's true. We saw this was a slow progression. She recalls when she had her match with Mako Satomura and she collapsed. And she basically said that, you know, she carried the women's division. She had the best rookie year in WWE history. She was angry that her championship was just taken away from her and that no one cared. No one cared, according to Roxanne, that her championship was just taken away from her. She said that during the last 12 months, she has been going out there, busting her butt in steel cage matches and weapons matches and all of these matches that she's been having, but that the people only cared about, and she didn't even just say that we only cared. She said that we were drooling over Tiffany Stratton. And I thought, you know what? She's right. She is so right. She is so right that all of our attention was on Tiffany Stratton. She brings up Becky Lynch. And again, our attention being on Becky Lynch. And when Becky Lynch versus Roxanne Perez, when they had their whole thing, she said that it was like people didn't even know that she was there, that they didn't even know Roxanne Perez was even there. And so I liked that she kind of talked about how she went from being this girl who achieved so many things in NXT at such a young age. By the age of 22, she had already won a breakouts tournament. She had already won the NXT Women's Championship. She mentioned a bunch of other things that I forgot. But she talked about already having done all of these things at just the age of 22, and people just completely disregarding it and paying attention to Tiffany Stratton and Becky Lynch instead. So I thought that was a good point for her to make, a point of her also being angry that her title was essentially, taken away from her. And then she brings up Lyra Valkyra. And she brings up another good point in a heel way. This is a good point. Remember when they had their match and it was interrupted by Lola Vice, who cashed in her NXT breakout contract? And Roxanne Perez, she was kind of screwed during that, just a little bit, right? She was kind of screwed. So she wants an apology. She wants an apology from Lyra Valkyra for that happening during her match. She wanted her to give her another rematch based off of that. And I thought, maybe she's reaching here, but she does have somewhat of a point with this particular moment. So she brings up all of that. And now she is going to do whatever it takes because she wants what she wants. And she says she no longer needs anybody's support, nobody's approval. And she wants the NXT Women's Championship handed to her. That's not going to happen. obviously, Ava Raine comes out. And Ava tries to put Roxanne Perez in her place. She tries to put her in her place. Tells her she stepped out of line, tells her to shut up, tells her not to talk when she's speaking. And unfortunately, we don't get to really hear much of what Ava Raine has to say to Roxanne or what her punishment is going to be or anything like that, because Tatum Paxley comes out and Tatum is Lyra's bestie, which for a second, I thought that maybe Tatum might have been working with Roxanne Perez, because I thought it was very sus that last week she literally just disappeared when Roxanne Perez barely even touched her, didn't even actually touch her. She just got thrown out of the ring and then she disappeared. I thought that it was suspicious that that happened, that she did not help Lyra Valkyria. So anyways, she comes out here tonight and she tries to go after Roxanne Perez, but the securities hold her back. Next week, we are getting this match between Roxanne Perez and Tatum Paxley, so that should be good. But I don't know. It's interesting because I was really thinking that Tatum might have been involved in cahoots with Roxanne for a minute there. And now I'm thinking, oh, well, I was wrong on that, because now they're going to have this match next week. Unless something happens there, then we'll find out. But for the most part, Roxanne Perez is really doing a great job as a heel. Again, it was something that we weren't sure of, but she's moving forward. She's freaking killing it, and I'm excited. I feel like she's got this like new confidence to her. Even the way that she walks, they showed this shot of her walking backstage, and even just the way that she was just, you know, presenting herself, she just had this like different aura to her. So I don't know, man, I'm a fan of what they're doing with Roxanne here, and I'm really excited to see her and Tatum again. The stories. Here's the other thing that I wanted to say. We always talk about the women being like having the best matches on NXT, it's having some of the best development on NXT, but we need to talk about the women's stories on NXT, because almost every single woman is at least tied or connected to some story on NXT. Everybody has like a really refined character, and you know, when you see someone, you know what they're all about. Like, you look at Tatum Paxley. She's so different from Thea Hale, from JC Jade, from Sol Ruka, from all of these girls. They all have such a strong personality and a strong character. And I'm really digging the stories that they're doing with the women. There's another one that we're going to get into in just a minute. But honestly, it's a hit right now. It's really feeling like a hit. It feels like, I hate to say this, but like, for me, when the women are not on NXT, I'm like, a little bit of my excitement goes down just a tad. Not all the stories, because I'm not talking about Carmelo and Trick, because I really like their story. And I'm starting to get interested in what they're doing with Tony D and Ilya Dragunov. Of course, that's a lot newer. But aside from those two stories, like, none of the other stories from the dudes really have me all that engaged right now. You know, so I kind of feel a little bit bad, but damn, they were just freaking killing it. The women are just killing it on NXT in like all facets. They're killing it. All right, let's see what the people here are saying. We got Steven Marchulli, who says Roxanne Perez as a heel equals lit the best heels. Speak facts. I know a lot of people on social media were kind of comparing her to Drew McIntyre. Obviously, Drew McIntyre is like on a whole other level. He's a whole other different type of hater. Roxanne Perez isn't there yet. But damn, if I was like taking notes from anybody, especially when you're on the developmental brand, if I was Roxanne Perez, I would be like looking at what Drew McIntyre is doing and do like my own version of that, because you can see some minor similarities there. Will Chisholm says, I love Roxanne went through her whole history, name dropping everybody. I loved her promo. Yeah, I think you needed that, because when she goes out there and she says like, oh, this has been boiling inside of me for quite some time. Okay, what does that mean? Everybody here who is watching probably had a different idea in their head of when that time actually started for Roxanne, when that moment actually started where Roxanne started changing as a person on NXT. So everybody was going to have like a different response to that. So her going out there and explaining the whole thing, it just put everything together very nicely. And you were like, you know what? I can see Roxanne's point. I can see why she's angry. Of course, you're not going to want to cheer for her because she's still a heel, but she is speaking some truth there. The champ 39 says, imagine Roxanne and Cora Jade reunited as a tag team again, this time as heels. No, because here's the thing. Like, I don't want them to forget the beef that they had with one another. The story between Roxanne Perez and Cora Jade, it was so good. It was honestly the best thing that both Roxanne and Cora Jade have done on NXT so far. I don't want them to ever forget that. I don't want them to forget this, like, whole battle that they went through with one another. I want them to always have that, no matter where they find themselves on the heel or the babyface side. Like, I don't think all babyfaces, like, I don't think all heels should be friends. I know sometimes you get on the same page and it happens, right? But I don't want people to forget the history that they had with other people on the roster, you know? The champ 39, thank you so much for the super chat. I appreciate that a whole lot. All right, let's keep it going, guys. Let's get into the next thing that I'm really excited to talk about, and that is Fia Hale. Now, you guys know Fia Hale is like literally my favorite person on the show because she's just so freaking fun, right? She's just so freaking fun. So what's been going down with Fia Hale, just to recap, is her friendship with JC Jane is no longer what it once was. JC Jane kind of changed Fia Hale. And we saw Fia Hale kind of morph herself into JC Jane, dress like her, act like her, do the things that JC Jane does. And that started to blow up when Fia Hale fell in love with Riley Osborne. And she took advice from JC Jane, and that cost her this relationship with Riley. And after that, she started to see the red flags from JC Jane. She started to see that JC Jane was replacing her, hanging out with Jasmine, who I don't really know that much about Jasmine, but she's been hanging out with Jasmine, okay? She's got a new friend, and point blank, it ain't Fia Hale. And when Fia Hale needed a friend, when Fia Hale needed someone to team up with to face Kiana James and Izzy Dame here tonight, she didn't have JC Jane. JC Jane rejected teaming up with her. So she had to go out and find another partner. And she announces that her partner was going to be Kalani Jordan. And I was like, oh, that's random. I like Kalani and it makes sense for Kalani, but they hadn't been really doing much with Kalani and Fia Hale. So I was going, we all knew this was going to be Fallon Henley. It was just a matter of how. So of course, what ended up happening? Well, you guys can guess it. Right before the match, Kalani Jordan was attacked and she was not able to make it in this match. And it looked like Fia Hale was going to end up facing both Kiana and Izzy in a handicap match. Here's the thing. JC Jane had actually, now that I think about it, JC Jane had said last week, and correct me if I'm wrong, but did she not say she had other plans? I'm pretty sure JC Jane said that she had other plans last week, and that's why she couldn't be Fia Hale's partner. I'm pretty sure that was her reasoning for that. Anyways, well, she had time. JC Jane had time to go out there and help out Fia Hale, and she did not. But of course, Fallon Henley, who has been bonding with Fia Hale, went out there and she ended up helping out Fia Hale. So here's the thing, though. JC Jane and Jordan went out there. They were out there. They were watching this match. So how come she couldn't go out there and help out Fia Hale? She could be out there in ringside, but she wasn't out there to team up with her and actually take on Kiana and Izzy. That's savage, guys. That's messed up. She said she had other plans, yet she still showed up, but not to team up with her. That is mean. That is mean. But then it gets kind of worse. So they're doing their match. They're having their match, whatever. There's a moment on the outside where Izzy Dame is about to hit Fallon Henley with a big boot. But JC Jane tries to help, and I'm putting air quotations up. She tries to help and she moves Fallon Henley out of the way. But when she moves Fallon Henley, instead, Izzy gets Thea Hale with the big boot. And thus, she gets thrown back into the ring and she gets killed in the ring by Kiana James. And Kiana James pins her and they win this match. And so, Thea Hale afterwards cuts a pretty emotional promo. I gotta tell you, I was like feeling really bad for her. So good job on that, because she got me to feel very, very bad for her. Thea Hale, man, she gets pretty emotional in this, and she's telling JC Jane how, like, she must think that Thea is a loser now. And this whole time, JC Jane is making these, like, mean faces. She's, like, looking at her like she's garbage. Literally looking at Thea like she is garbage. And Thea goes on to say that she thought that JC Jane was everything. She thought JC Jane was the coolest girl. She thought that they were best friends. She saw her like a sister. She says, I changed myself to be like you. Why did this happen? Why did you do this to me? Why did you stop being my friend? What did I do to you? And then she goes on, like, she's like, she has me here, by the way. Like, I'm listening to this promo and I am hanging on each and every single word Thea Hale is saying. And she finally decides, you know what? You're rotten. She tells JC, you're rotten. I idolized you, but I'm done. I was wrong. I don't want to be you anymore. I don't want to be with your toxic self. A throwback, by the way, to JC Jane, who was part of Toxic Attraction and has had a history with friendships falling apart. Let's not forget JC Jane and Gigi Dolan. But Thea Hale then says that the old Thea Hale is back, bitch. She drops the microphone. She starts running around the ring like her full energetic self. And guess who's watching backstage? Riley Osborne. Riley's watching. He's very happy that the old Thea Hale is back. I think we're all happy that the old Thea Hale is back. This was good, guys. What can I say? I was just talking about how these stories for the women on NXT are very strong. And this is one of them. They successfully made me angry at JC Jane. They successfully made me care even more than I already did about Thea Hale. And now I want to see Thea Hale feud with JC Jane, because I think JC Jane does a really good job in this role. She makes me, like, she makes you believe that she truly hates the other person. She made me believe that she truly was disgusted with Thea Hale. Now, I do think that they could have probably extended this even longer. They could have had JC Jane be even meaner to her. They could have done that. But the fact that Thea Hale stood up for herself and that she did it so quick, I kind of did like that too, because you know what? She's got a backbone. She finally snapped last week and then it paid off here today. So awesome, awesome promo by Thea Hale. Her and Roxanne, they did really good. I would even go as far as to say that maybe even Thea Hale might have had a stronger promo. I don't know. Who had the stronger promo, guys, today? Was it Thea Hale or was it Roxanne Perez? Let me know in the comments what you guys think, who you guys think had the stronger promo. Two totally different promos, but I don't know which one had you the most. I thought that Thea Hale had me the most in terms of, like, emotionally connecting with her. That's why I'm almost gonna go with Thea, but it's a tough one. I thought they both did really good. We got people saying here, Brandon Rosen says it's a tough call. We got Marvin voting for Thea Hale. We got Caden voting for Roxanne. Raphael voting for Thea Hale. John here voting for Roxanne. We got Marvin voting for Thea Hale. Luis here voting for Roxanne. I feel like we're getting a little bit of everything. Thomas here is voting for Roxanne as well. Ebony for Thea. Hector Rodriguez says Roxanne by a country mile because of the history. The Moneymaker Chris says both were really strong promos. And we have Hunter Tillman who says Roxanne, she looked in the camera the most. Well, here's the thing though. That one made more sense to look at the camera the most, because Roxanne was addressing the people. She was addressing the people. She was mad at the people. She's mad at us. But Thea was looking at JC Jane because she was pouring her heart out to JC Jane. This was the person that betrayed her. This was the person that hurt her. But when she said the old Thea Hale is back, bitch, she turned and looked dead eye into the camera when she said that part. So she wasn't looking at the camera during this promo, but that's because this promo was not directed to the people. This promo was directed to JC Jayne. So I'm going to let that's a pass for me. To me, it makes sense for her to look at JC during this promo. And Jaya Price says Thea Hale had the stronger promo tonight. I felt her pain. That's what I'm saying, right? Like, I felt her pain too. Rally Cap says Thea by a hair. Xeno Hour says I'm going to say Roxanne because it's story and it's Roxanne's first time playing a heel. I'm thinking we're getting more Roxanne Perez comments here. I'm seeing a lot of people throw them in. So I'm going to go ahead and say that the overall popular votes here is Roxanne Perez with the stronger promo here tonight. But again, they both did very well. My pick is Thea, but like someone said earlier, by a hair, by a hair. And the reason why I'm going with Thea is, again, because I connected with that one a little bit more on the emotional side of things. All right, let's see what else we got here. We got Hector Rodriguez, who sent in a super chat. Thank you so much to Hector, who says, Dark Roxanne has arrived and I'm all for it. And she shouldn't have been stripped of the belt in the first place. And we got the fun Thea again. Woo. Dude, Hector, I have been saying that from like the longest time that I hated that Roxanne Perez got stripped of the title. Like, there are still so many question marks around why they did that during that time. But whatever. We've moved on. We've moved on. Dream Ninja 77 says, I loved Thea being hurt and vulnerable, but not dumb. I popped for Thea saying the old Thea was back. NXT is killing it with the women's storyline. That's the thing. Like, so I said earlier, yeah, they could have definitely extended, you know, JC Jayne continuing to bully her, Thea Hale continuing to take it. But the fact that she didn't take it for as long, she's not dumb. She saw the red flags. She clearly had JC Jayne telling her she was a loser last week simply because she was rubbing the freaking shoulder of Riley Osborne. So, I mean, yeah, she was not dumb. Again, for our enjoyment, they could have kept it going longer, but it makes more sense for Thea Hale to stand up for herself. So you go, girl. You stand up for yourself. Will Chisholm says, old Thea's back. She cuts a great promo. The women were on fire with the promos tonight. Damn right, my friends. Damn right. So, it's most likely going to be Thea Hale versus JC Jayne at Stand and Deliver from the looks of it. And I cannot wait. I cannot wait. So I'm thinking they're going to probably do somewhere leading up to that, a tag team match with Thea Hale and Fallon Henley versus JC Jayne and Jasmine, I'm guessing. I don't know that much about Jasmine, but we'll see. Well, we'll see what happens. We'll get there when we get there. But that's the match that we're most likely expecting to see at Stand and Deliver. Those were, my friends, my two favorite things that happened on NXT. But let's go ahead and go down some other items that were very enjoyable. So the next topic that I want to get into is actually the Tony D'Angelo, Ilya Dragunov stuff. Ilya Dragunov stuff. All right, let's go. All right. Ilya confronts Tony D'Angelo in his place where he's eating. He's at a restaurant. He's eating his fancy pasta the way he always is. And, you know, he was out there talking with the family, whatever. Ilya Dragunov goes out there and tells them, I'm going to do what it takes to keep my NXT championship at Stand and Deliver. All right, cool. Tony just doesn't like that he showed up on his turf. So he has his guys take Ilya Dragunov, and guys, kidnappings are back on NXT. It's the old NXT again. We got romance. We got kidnappings. It's the old NXT again. All right. So, and by mean by old NXT, I mean the old NXT 2.0, by the way. Let me emphasize that. All right. So Ilya Dragunov gets kidnapped. He gets thrown into a Hyundai. Everybody on Twitter was laughing that he got thrown into a Hyundai. Here's my question, though. If you're going to get kidnapped, because everybody was making fun of this on Twitter, guys. People were making fun that he got kidnapped in a Hyundai. Okay, does it matter? Honest question, guys. Does it matter? Like, what is the good car to get kidnapped in? Like, what car would you want? Like, that's a terrible question. What car would you want to get kidnapped in? Like, what car would you be insulted that you got kidnapped in? You see what I'm saying here? Like, I thought it was hilarious, but this was something that was being brought up on Twitter, and it made me laugh. I don't know. I feel like any car for me would be very upsetting, but Mad Dragon gets kidnapped, and I'm thinking, if it can happen to Ilya Dragunov, God damn it can happen to anybody. This is not okay. Let's see what our people are saying. This is actually pretty funny. We got Dominic Carranza who says, I'm sorry, why would you use a Hyundai? Where's the old Buicks and stuff? I don't know. Kevin says, a Geo Metro would be awful. Matt Logan says, a Cadillac or a Buick. Van Housen says, I want to be kidnapped in a Jaguar. I'm dead. Dan Jackson says, give me a Buick. You want to be, YT says, I'd be insulted if I was in a Hyundai or a Punch Buggy. What if you're like in a really cute little blue Volkswagen? You get kidnapped in a really cute little blue Volkswagen with Hello Kitty stickers on it and a little license plate with like diamonds and things. You've seen these, right? Like people have seen these. You know those really cute little diamond license plates and the little Hello Kitty stickers? I'm dead. That's terrible. It's so terrible. Jerome J says you want to be kidnapped in a Mercedes, something comfortable. I can't imagine any of that. Like, oh, hey, I'm in the back of a trunk, but you know what? At least I'm comfortable, guys. At least I'm comfortable. Hector Rodriguez says a Buick. All right. So apparently people want Buicks are the place. I'm done with this conversation, guys. I am done with this conversation. No one is winning from this conversation. Rafael Garcia said I'd be pissed if I was kidnapped in a Kia Soul. Oh, man. I can't. Anyways, so he gets kidnapped for like a few minutes, guys. It doesn't last that long because they end up at the top of a bridge. And basically, they have a little chat. And he tells them why he did that. He tells them why they put him in a trunk. And it was, again, because he didn't like that he just showed up on his turf in the restaurant that he was eating at. So Tony D'Angelo tells Ilya, like, you have power, but you don't have the kind of power that I have. And tells him, have a nice walk home. And Ilya tells him, the one thing you'll find out about me is that I always find a way. So basically, he always finds a way to stay on top and remain champion. That's what I took from that. And that's it. The last closing shot that we got of this was Ilya staring down at the water from the bridge. That's literally what we're getting at. Now, last week when we were talking about Tony D'Angelo becoming the number one contender to Ilya, heading into Stand and Deliver, the one thing that I had said was they need to heat this story up because as of now, he's just a guy that became the number one contender. And primarily he became the number one contender because Carmelo Hayes got screwed and because we're telling a whole other story. So it was really him by default, right? Like Tony D ended up being his opponent at Stand and Deliver by default. And so I had said last week, they need to find a way to heat this up. Well, my friends, they sure as hell did it today. You put a man in a freaking trunk of a Hyundai. Yeah, you know what? There's going to be some problems. They're going to be upset now. So they successfully heated this story up heading in to Stand and Deliver. And it's going to be interesting to see Ilya Dragunov essentially have to take on the entire family. Like, this is one man against Tony D and, you know, his two guys and, you know, oh my gosh, I'm sorry, guys. I'm blanking on her name right now. Let me know in the comments, guys. Blanking right now. But anyways, so the family versus Tony. Nope, sorry. Family versus Ilya Dragunov. There's a lot of people on NXT, guys. Got to remember a lot of names here. A lot of names. Thank you so much, Pierre. Adriana Rizzo. I've talked about Adriana Rizzo a bunch. Adriana Rizzo. You guys know that. All right, so they found a way to heat it up. I'm happy about that. All right, those were honestly like the big stories that went down on NXT. We do got a couple more items to talk about, so let's go ahead and get right into them. Some of them will spend a little bit more time than others. Let's start off with Gigi Dolin and Ariana Grace. So this one, I mean, God, what can I say? The big takeaway from this, I'm going to bring up another weird question. If we got any women in the chat, you're going to help me out on this one, guys. Any women in the chat, please help me out here. Because we saw, this is how this match ended. At one point, Ariana Grace brings out her tiara and she's trying to put it on Gigi Dolin. The referee, or she's trying to hit Gigi Dolin. I don't know what she was trying to do. It looked like she was trying to put it on her. And the referee takes away the tiara. So there's like this tug of war going on between Ariana and the referee. During this tug of war, Ariana ends up kicking Gigi Dolin in the box. And I just learned this term, so I'm going to use it now. In the box. Shout out to the AEW Dynamite crew. That's where I learned this term. In the box. God, I hate using that term. Sounds really ugly. Anyways, she kicks Gigi Dolin there. And Gigi's on the floor. She's like, oh, you know, making the face. And then she retaliates and she gives Ariana Grace a low blow. And we've talked about Ariana Grace's facials on this show plenty of times. We've talked about how she just gets comedy the way that her dad did, Santino Marella. And let me bring up this photo here. And while I'm here now, I did not know that when a lady gets a low blow, that it would cause this kind of reaction. Now, I've never been hit in the box. TMI, it's never happened. And I don't know any other women who have been hit in the box. So my reaction during this whole thing was, oh, it hurts if you actually get a blow and you're a woman? I had no idea. I learned that today. Because you only ever see that with the dudes. And you know for a fact, a dude gets hit in the webos, he's done. He's out. I learned today, you get a low blow in the box, your face is going to look like that too. Learn something new every day. Every day. You see what I'm saying? Like, who here can honestly confirm this to me? I don't buy it. I don't believe it. Like, I need somebody. Like, but here's the thing. Like, I don't know any girls that are being hit in the box. None of them. So, like, who's going to be able to sit here and come out here and confirm this to me? Who's going to confirm this? I need someone to confirm this. Alvin White Jr. says, got to do a test experiment. That's what I'm saying. What the hell? Oh, my God. Oh, we'll see what happens. I don't know how to bounce back from that. Adam Gibson says Gigi tweeted that it does hurt. My God. Let's move on here, guys. Because unless this experiment is done, we'll never know. Never know. Christopher Burrito sends in a super chat saying, I have seen enough. I need Ariana Grace and Chelsea Green tag team. I agree. You're not the first person to mention this, by the way. This has been mentioned before. People want to see it. I want to see it. I definitely want to see it. Matt Logan says, I thought I was done watching soap operas. No, there's a whole lot of that. A whole lot of that going on, honestly. All right. Thank you so much to Matt Logan for that super chat. And all right, I think I'm caught up with all of that, guys. Ramen Noodle says, I'm so glad I found you. Subscribed. If you're new and this is your first time watching my show and you came in on me talking about boxes and getting punched in the boxes, I am humiliated right now. Please, I am so much more of a professional than this. Will Chisholm says, low blow in the box is the greatest line you've said. LOL. Oh, God. I don't know what to say. Will Chisholm, thank you so much for the super chat. All right, let's press on from this. We got Brooks Jensen challenging Obafemi for the NXT North American Championship. I have like mixed feelings about this. I get what they were trying to do. The purpose of this was to see Obafemi like kill Brooks Jensen. But aside from like two spots, which was him like smashing the body of Brooks Jensen onto his knee and then him throwing him one time, I didn't think this beatdown was as exciting as it could have been. Like, Obafemi is a big, giant dude who's got so much freaking intensity. I wanted him to, like, rip Brooks Jensen. I thought this was a very slow motion beatdown. And the whole time we had Josh Briggs out there watching his former friend basically get beat to shreds. I thought there could have been a little bit more intensity in this, a little bit more of a beatdown in this is what I'm saying, because I wanted to come out of this feeling bad for Brooks Jensen. I wanted to come out of this going, my God, this poor man. Instead, I was like, oh, okay, the beatdown's done. All right, cool. What's next? Personally, I thought the beatdown should have just been more mean, more savage, more brutal, more violence, more violence. It's always the key. More violence. There's never enough butter, never enough violence in pro wrestling. Some people are not going to like that. Like, she just likes violence and blood. Damn right. That's why I watch, guys. That's why I tune in. Julian Bravo says Williams will be the next biggest star on the main roster. I mean, he's killing it, man, and he's got a good look, and it's just a matter of him continuing to grow in WWE, and he's going to make it, guys. He's going to make it. Julian Bravo, thank you so much for the super chat. I appreciate that a whole lot. Anyway, so that's what I thought about this one. It just needed to be a little bit more violent. Lexus King versus Robert Stone. There was not much to say about this, guys. Nothing much to say. Lexus King gets the win. Von Wagner comes out and carries out Robert Stone. If this, I just didn't think there was that much here to really grab a hold of. I wasn't interested in the match. I'm not interested in the story. I think they need to do a whole lot more here to really grab some of our attention. And when I was saying this earlier, that some of the stories for the dudes are just not working for me. The last two that I just spoke about are not really that, like, they're not really that interesting. Like, they need to be a little bit more interesting. Because I'm sitting here and I'm like, I got nothing to say about this. And if I've got nothing to say about this, that's not a good thing, right? You want to have something to say about this. So there really wasn't anything there. Damn. All right, well, let's keep it going. We are having the tag team qualifier, by the way. So three teams. So we're going to have qualifying matches to determine three teams to have a triple threat. Whoever wins that triple threat will then be the team that goes on to face Braun Breaker and Baron Corbin at NXT Stand and Deliver. We had a match here between the LWO and OTM, and this was the opener of the show. And all I got to say is the LWO has been consistently killing it. They were this match, guys. They were this match. They were the interesting part of this match. They were going out there working, you know, really, really fast, doing their high spots. Joaquin Wilde, when he does that like jump that he soars to the sky, it looks like dude jumped off of a trampoline. That's how much air he gets. That always gets a really good reaction from the people because it's fun to see. That got a great reaction again. He wins this match with a 450. Looked really awesome. But this was really all the LWO right here. They're doing such a great job. And I truly think they can be an even more popular tag team. It's just a matter of keeping them on the forefront, doing these types of matches, having bigger feuds, especially on the SmackDown side of things. If they have bigger matches on SmackDown, I really, truly think that the LWO can become a really popular tag team. Like right now, like people like them, you enjoy their matches, you know, when they come on, you're going to see something good, but that's about the extent of it. I think that they could become a really good tag team in terms of popularity. I really, really do think so. All right. So the other item that we didn't get to talk about is Ridge Allen and Sean Spears. That's the last thing we need to get into for today. And basically the big thing out of this is Sean Spears is trying to get Ridge Holland to be his like true self. And during this, we see Ridge Holland snap and he ends up putting Sean Spears through a commentary table. And that got a really good reaction as well. And they continue the action back into the ring and Sean Spears ends up hitting the C4 on Ridge Holland on a chair. And so he is able to get the win here. I was interested going into this match because they managed to pique my interest with Sean Spears' promo from last week. I did like what they did there. Now I'm more so on a we'll see basis. I don't know how I feel about this one moving forward, but I am interested though. I am interested to see how they're going to continue this with Ridge Holland and Sean Spears if they decide to continue it. I'm assuming they are. I know Sean Spears already defeated him, but because of the way that it went down, I think that they can continue to tell this story in a more violent way. I mean, dude, we already had a freaking commentary table spot, and then we had the C4 on the chair. So now it tells me we need to bring in more weapons. We need to have more violence here just based off of what they already did in this first encounter here. So there you go, guys. That, my friends, was NXT here tonight. That was NXT here tonight. Next week, we're going to be seeing Roxanne Perez versus Tatum Paxley. We're going to be seeing the tag team qualifiers continue next week. And then we're also going to be seeing one member of the No Quarter Catch crew take on Riley Osborne for the NXT Heritage Cup. All right, guys, before I go, if you enjoyed this NXT post show, please let me know in the comments. Leave a comment afterwards, even if you just watched here and you engaged in the chat. Leave a comment. It helps the algorithm. It helps more people find these shows. And also, if you want to go even a step further, you're more than welcome to leave a review over on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You can do that on either one of those. And I actually do have two new reviews to read, guys. So I did say that if any of you ever leave a review, I really, really means a lot to me if you do. So I want to make sure that I read them here on the show. So we got two new ones that I haven't read yet. This first one here is from Mexican NWA, who says, "Perfect. Nothing more perfect in this world than this podcast. Wonderful highlights of every week." Thank you so much to Mexican NWA for sending in this review. We have another one here from Young Bucks, who says, "Hi, Denise. I first discovered you on X-Pac podcast way back when I got more familiar with you when you started Fightful. Seeing your journey and hard work through the years is very inspiring, and I enjoy all of your content. You constantly pump out great interviews with talent and ask unique questions. And I always listen to your NXT review in the morning while at work. And I feel you give the best descriptive review of the show. Keep on keeping on, Denise. You're doing a great job." Thank you so much for those brand new reviews. They seriously make my day whenever I go online to check if there's any new reviews. So again, leave a review and I will make sure to read it here on the podcast. All right, everyone. I'll catch you guys next time. Tomorrow, actually, do not forget, tomorrow is a big post show. Tomorrow, myself and Righteous Reg, we will be here to talk about AEW Big Business. It is expected that Mercedes Moné is going to be debuting for AEW. So make sure you guys tune in for that. I will see you guys back here tomorrow. Bye, everyone.